Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And Bob is Bob Shorey. He's one of the MCSEs at Tab. He comes in and helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. And we have three lines open on this lovely Saturday morning. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. I'd be remiss if I didn't bring up some of the Apple news recently. A couple things in the news. Google's Project Zero has released some information about Apple users, iPhone users. I know you guys thought you were super, super secure. But it turns out if you happen to go to certain websites since back in 2017... some of these sites receive thousands of visitors per week. So it was basically a honeypot for you. They would be able to slip some malware on your iPhone. I know. You don't get viruses. I know. I'm sorry. But they did. And they were then able to collect all sorts of data from passwords to contacts to other sites visited and location data. I know. I'm sorry, guy. I hate to be the guy to break it to you. I know. Somebody told you Apple doesn't get viruses. I know, and that's why you pay a premium for it. I know, and that's why you want the latest and greatest. I know, but it's the same problem across any computer. It's a computer for crying out loud. You were hit. I'm sorry. I'll put the link out here for you. You can read it yourself. Project Zero has talked about what happened. They actually had made Apple aware of it, but it had been happening to iPhone users since 2017. And this happened, the exploit was finally closed up, I guess, in February, but now this news is coming out as part of just their full disclosure so that everyone's aware. Now, just stop believing the hype, guys, and understand that we're all kind of vulnerable these days because these are computer programmers that are putting this stuff together. It's not like they're any more trustworthy than pick an industry. So we'll put a link up here for you. And you can read the story yourself as an iPhone user and go from there. And, of course, Siri, you guys are just like Alexa and Google. You know, Siri's been listening to your conversations, and Apple apologized. And, you know, you guys, if you want to, you can opt out of Siri listening to you. And they kind of say they promise they'll delete all those messages that were on there that they hung on to that were queued up by accident, you know, when Siri was triggered inadvertently and started listening to whatever you were talking about. But so Alexa, Google, Siri, you name it. These companies they're literally, you put a microphone in your pocket. And now in the case of Apple, you paid a premium for security and they still listen to you. So they apologize. They're so sorry. Isn't that nice of them? You can't have it both ways. You can't say you're both a security company and care about your customers and start listening to them, too. You can't have it both ways. You're just as bad as the guys who are giving it to them for free. So we'll put those links up there for you, but don't tell me I didn't tell you. And it's not even – I'm not even the sharpest tool in the shed. That's not even a hard prediction for me to make, that you're going to have things like this going on with Apple, too. Really? I mean, really. It doesn't take just a ding-a-ling on the radio. What do I know? But it wasn't hard to predict. Let's go on to Mary in Stafford next. Hey, Mary.
Hello.
Hello.
Good morning.
Morning. What can we do for you?
So, in 2016, I bought a refurbished Dell All-in-One.
Okay.
And I bought it off a website my sister recommended. So
sure.
I bought it, and it crashed a couple times. And Dell honored the warranty, mailed it to them. They mailed it back, damaged a couple times. They took it back, replaced it. So, overall, you know, I haven't used it that much because it's been in repairs most of this time.
Oh, no.
So, got it back. It worked well for about 9 months, and it just crashed. Well, not just, but it crashed in December 2018.
Uh-huh.
and they won't honor any more repairs.
They're all done with you.
Yeah, and it won't turn on. It absolutely will not turn on. This was the same problem that I had sent it to them several times for.
Yeah.
So should I bring it to, like, a Best Buy? Or
no.
What should I do with it?
You should, in the box. You should pronounce it dead.
Yeah, yeah. So it's all gone.
Yeah, I mean, it was refurbished, right? So you didn't pay a lot for it in the first place.
No, I mean, but a couple $100, so,
yeah,
you know.
If you keep spending money, it's like buying a real old car and you're just giving all your money to the mechanic.
Okay.
See, the first owner more than likely leased it, and so then they refurbed it and resold it to you.
Right.
And
okay.
So what happens is the best years of its life was by the first owner.
Yeah.
So
just go onto it and try it if you can save up, get a new machine that'll give you a nice 6 years of service. They can still fail too, unfortunately. Yeah. But
what would you recommend, though, an all-in-one again or a PC? Or
I wouldn't recommend an all-in-one. The all-in-ones are nice if you have a space problem where you don't have any room for a computer underneath your desk. But I like full-size computers. They have plenty of room, plenty of airflow. They're going to give you – they're like tanks. They'll last for a good 6-8 years of service, and you can upgrade components within them. When the all-in-one has a problem, that means your monitor and the computer is built into the same thing. Now you got to find funky parts for that and have access to opening it up with the bezels are all kind of difficult to deal with and the plastic and all that junk. I would stay away from it unless you have no space.
What would you recommend, though? Would you recommend, because I go to the computer store and I'm overwhelmed and there's all these big things and I do have space. So.
Okay. Well, I mean, we like HP. However, Dell, you know, they stood behind that thing for a while for you, so you always can give some loyalty if you'd like. But we're going to recommend an i5 processor minimally.
Yep.
8 gigs of RAM minimally.
Okay.
A solid state drive if you can afford it. Otherwise, maybe a hybrid drive that has some solid state components built into it, and that's going to be whatever you can afford as far as space. You know, 256 for solid state and higher, or a terabyte if it's going to be hybrid. Those are the keys.
If it says i3,
run away.
Pentium,
go away.
Move to the next one.
Or Core 2.
i3, move on. Okay.
Yeah. You want an i5 or better.
Those i5 lower, or i7.
Those lower-end processors, man. I wouldn't put them in a watch.
All right.
Well maybe
thank
a watch.
You so much.
Maybe you're, all right, Mary. You're welcome. Bye-bye. Yep, you too. Yeah, we're not big fans of the i3. I mean, we see them out there in our business all the time, these companies that have bought these cheap boxes.
Why is my computer so slow?
Because it was barely a computer in the first place. We're going to step out for a quick break. We got three lines open for you on this Saturday morning, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We're here till 11 o'clock. Three lines open for you. We put the links up there, too, like the Bitdefender thing I alluded to as far as the recent hack. It turns out Bitdefender, you know, they're the guys out of Romania. They boast 500 million computers. Well, it turns out you could actually, with a flaw on Bitdefender, load all sorts of malware, deploy it through Bitdefender. They fixed it, but you better go out there and update your Bitdefender if you are using that. For antivirus, and we put a link up there for the article for you to read about it if you don't believe me. Let's go to your calls next. We're going to go to Tom in Harwington next. What's going on, Tom?
Good morning, guys.
Morning.
I wanted to ask you a couple of questions. I got a new desktop PC, Windows 10, about 6 weeks ago, and I've got two problems that I've never had before. And they surfaced about 2 weeks after I got the computer. So it wasn't like that day or the next day.
Okay.
One of them is I'm logged into about 6 or 7 different websites and bulletin boards. And I always say, remember me. And I never get logged out. Mm-hmm. On one of those websites, I am always getting logged out somewhere between 2 and 3 days. It's never less than 2. It's never more than 3.
Okay.
And I got the box checked off to say, remember me. I have logged out and I've logged back in. I'm still getting logged out periodically. Any ideas?
Yeah, they don't want you to be logged in 24/7, so they're logging you out at the other end.
Yeah.
No, that's not it, Bob, because there's dozens of people that stay logged in all the time. It seems like I'm the only one having the problem.
Really?
Well, what browser are you using?
Firefox, and it's up to date.
Have you tried Chrome with that particular site?
Yeah, I think I have. No, not for this problem. For the other problem I have. No, I don't think so.
I mean, again, sites do log people off. We have, you know, we use tools for in our business that'll log you off after X number of minutes because of the amount of load you're going to put on the site that they may not want if you're not doing anything on there. But you don't think that's it, huh?
No, the site doesn't get a whole lot of activity. There's only about 35 or 40 people on it. But, like I said, nobody else is complaining about this. I've complained about it, and I haven't seen anybody else say, yeah, this is happening.
Do you have a desktop or a laptop?
It's a desktop.
Okay. Try looking at your power options and see if your NIC card is set to turn off after a certain amount of time or activity.
Would that turn off the computer or the monitor?
It could disconnect your network, which could log you out.
Where would I find this? I'm on right now. Where would I find it?
It's in the control panel under power options. You might have to search for it.
You just type in power in that little search bar in the bottom left-hand corner. You'll go right to that. But my question, though, Tom, before you go do that, how many sites are open at the same time? Is it like four or five sites and it's only the sixth site is turning you off? Or is it only when you have the one site open?
It's only happening on one site.
And you have other sites that are still...
And I usually don't have the other sites open at the same time.
Okay, so Bob is onto something. You might have a power thing where it's your computer's disconnecting you. I assume...
I'm using the computer all along. It's like, you know, I've opened... I've done things for the past 10, 15, 20 minutes nonstop, or it might be the first thing I do.
Right, okay.
Have you done updates?
Yeah, updates.
Pardon me?
He's just kind of kidding. Have you done updates? Is what he asked.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of times they change settings when you do updates.
That's true. Well, so you can check that. Maybe the power is turning off the NIC card, but to your point, you're running and operating, and it shouldn't do that while you're operating because it's not going to do that for you. I think it's the site, Tom. I know you don't think it's that, but many sites don't let you stay connected, and nobody else is complaining because maybe they're not using the site the way you do.
Well, Eric, in 3 years, this has never happened. In 3 years.
On the old browser, it worked fine.
Yeah, on the old computer and on different computers over that three-year period. Never had a problem.
Yeah.
And the website may have updated their software.
Yeah, maybe they changed something coincidentally. It does happen.
Are other people having the problem?
Well, they may not be using it the way you are. Like, what the site might be, I don't know what type of site is it? I'm curious now.
You really want me to?
I don't know. Is it a family type of site? Then you can tell us. I don't know.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's not family unfriendly. It's a gun website.
Okay. And you always want to be connected to it because you're looking at, is it for pricing to buy something or sell something?
I'm an administrator on a bulletin board.
Okay. And you want to just keep an eye on this site?
Well, I go to it constantly.
Yeah.
Constantly. I'm on it all day, on and off.
Right.
I mean, like I said, I've used this for 3 years. I've never had a problem.
Right.
And it seems kind of coincidental when I get the new computer, yet it didn't happen immediately. It took about 2 weeks.
Have you reached out to them and asked them if they are dropping users while they're connected?
I've asked the owner of the site, and I haven't really gotten much back other than I'll look into it. And he never does.
Right, yeah. So that he might not even be aware of it. I mean, the webmaster might be different than the owner, right? So whoever's designing the site might be disconnecting you just to a normal setting, saying inactivity, timeout, drop the connection.
No, it's the same guy, Eric.
It's the same guy?
Yeah.
I don't know. It does seem coincidental. I don't know why I would be dropping you. I have no idea. I can't imagine.
Try another browser.
You know what you can do? Here's what you can do. You can force a refresh. So you can go ahead out there on the old internets and find browser refresh settings where you can tell your browser to refresh. So you actually show that you're active even though you didn't touch it. So you can automate the refresh process and that'll always keep you connected. Does that make sense?
Not at all.
We'll put a link out there for you. So basically you're going to tell your browser, hey, I want to refresh my page every 5 minutes, every 10 minutes. So even though you're not looking at it, you're going to force... You know, if you look at that little circle up there where it refreshes the browser, that little circle with the arrow, you're going to force that to happen automatically on that page. You're going to choose the browser refresh, and that'll force it to stay as long as you...
Well, let me explain something. I mean, I log off last night. This is what happened today. I logged off last night. Everything's fine. Shut down the computer. I get on the computer today. I get an email that there's threads that I'm following where there's new posts.
Yeah.
I click on one of them. I click on the link.
Yeah.
I go to the website, and I get the main page that says I have to log in. So, I mean, it was the first. Every time this happens, it's the first time I go to it in the day, and usually that's like, well, 8:30 in the morning.
Right. Maybe it's a cookie issue they're having on their site. It's probably not you. It's probably them. Maybe, again, try a different browser. Maybe a different browser would do better with whatever web design they're using. You know, you can't make it work for everything, so maybe they do better with IE. Maybe they'll work better with Chrome, and they have a problem with Firefox.
So if I type in power and sleep settings?
I don't think that's the issue. But yes, you can go power options, and you can. Your NIC card would be turning off your whole network connection, but you said you were still using the computer, so I doubt it's going to do that while you're using it.
And it's NIC?
NIC, yeah. It's network interface. What is it? Yeah, network interface card.
Right.
Is what it's going to tell you.
So here's my other question.
Yeah.
from time to time, and maybe 5% at a time, I go to websites, and again, I'm clicking on emails and I'm going to links, but it's not only this website that's logging me off. It could be anything I go to. 5% at a time, I get an unable to connect screen. And if I refresh it, it then brings it up without a problem.
That's your internet.
I think it's the modem?
Yeah, it's your internet service, your modem, something DNS. Wrong. Yeah. DNS, it could be DNS.
I don't have wireless. I have a modem, but it's not wireless.
You want to flush your DNS. ipconfig /flushDNS in a elevated command prompt.
And what is that going to do?
It's going to give you fresh DNS settings, and you're going to go ahead and configure OpenDNS, right? You've already got that running, Tom, right?
No.
Oh, come on, man. How long have you listened to this show?
I don't want to get into why. It was just too much trouble to set up. K9 was a pain in the neck, and I know you don't recommend K9 anymore.
No.
I just haven't gotten around.
All right. Well, we can't help you, man. If you're not going to take the medicine, can't make you feel better.
So you think it could be the modem?
We do. I think it's a bad modem, bad internet connection, or a bad DNS. You have bad DNS. If you put in nice, fresh, open DNS, set it in there, it's 2 seconds to set that up.
Some of the old AT&T DNS servers have been decommissioned.
Well, I got Charter.
Okay. Well,
they could have you could have an old DNS IP in there. And we can again put you show you how to force the browser refresh so you can set that to force that connection. But it could be a bad internet connection dealing with Tom.
All right. Well, why don't you put the links up there?
Yeah.
I'll look at them a little later on.
All right. Good luck, sir.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
You got it. Bye bye. Yeah. I mean, some of the solutions, folks, can't make you do the exercise. We're going to step out for a quick break. Danny and Barbara, hang on. Two lines open for you. 800-966-WTIC 522-WTIC. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And we're here till 11 o'clock. And then Dr. Alessi will be in with Healthy Rounds, giving you a second opinion on your health advice. And, of course, you can find us over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com. But you can also find us at Radio.com on the podcast. If you missed a show and you want to catch up on whatever we talked about, the podcasts are there over at radio.com. You can get there from WTIC or from our site as well if you missed a show. Let's go to our resident groupie, Danny, next. What's going on, Danny?
Hey, guys. Happy holidays.
You too.
When I go on my tablet on my homepage, just my older tablet.
Yeah.
But my Samsung Galaxy. And I go to Chrome, and I tap on the beach ball.
Yep.
And the search bar comes up, and underneath that it'll say suggested articles for you.
Oh, nice.
You know, and then I have things about, space and Tesla and,
Yeah.
Okay. So normally when I tap on one of the suggested articles,
mm-hmm.
a little tab up at the top will pop up because before I do that it says new tab and it shows the beach ball.
Yeah.
And a little tab will pop up and it'll be the article that I tapped on. Like just now I went to space.com. And there's an article about the Chinese rover on the dark side of the moon found a gel-like substance.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. But when the tab is up there, it will show the icon, a black box with the S in it, which is for space.com.
Uh-huh.
And then it'll sort of say Chinese lunar rover and there'll be a little X after that. So if I tapped on the X, that would get me off that.
Right.
That's right. Well, the S icon keeps dropping out, and I get the little blue circle going around while the page is up, and then the S icon comes back up, and then I get the blue circle.
Hmm.
It's like it's dropping out of gear or something, or but the page stays there.
Okay, so you do get to see, you do see your content.
Yeah, the content stays there. That never goes away. But you know, I'll get the little blue circle, like it's like searching or downloading or you know whatever.
Yeah.
And then the S pops up again.
Right. For the page, the
for
little
the, page,
the
for
logos
the page there, yeah, and it happens on any page I go on.
Oh, okay.
And
so,
my tablet seems like it's been downloading a little slower lately.
Yeah.
And I cleaned it, and I cleaned all the recent tabs, you know, old tabs and stuff. And I went into the maintenance and stuff.
Well, what kind of bandwidth? What kind of internet do you have there, Danny?
I got the Frontier DSL.
Okay, how many megabits?
I think it's like 3.5 to 6 whenever I do a speed test.
Yeah, so that's pretty slow.
Yeah, I know, but this is something that just started.
Well, right, so they could have a problem right now. Like if you do a speed test now and you're dribbling along at like 3 megabits.
Yeah, this happened at 3 o'clock in the morning, too.
Right, sure. Well, it can happen. You can have bad internet anytime.
Oh, all right, because I mean, I thought maybe at 3 in the morning as many people wouldn't be online.
Not if you're having a problem. They could be doing maintenance, too. It's a good time to do it, right?
Yeah.
So do a speed test. If you find your speed is really slow, you know, 3 megabits, you could see poor performance on websites.
Right. Now, I asked you once before, around 11 o'clock, my tablet, the download speed always drops down.
Right.
Like to 2, 3, 4. I had my wife's tablet down here with me the other night, and she was getting 117, and I was getting 4.
Well, remember, her 117 is just the connection to the router. It's not the bandwidth. You have to do a speed test.
No, I know, but she had 117 connection to the router,
right.
And I only had 4 with mine.
Right. So
before 11 o'clock, I had like 89, 90.
Yeah, that's
and
weird.
Then I did my routine step down like it does for whatever reason, but hers didn't do that.
Yeah, that's weird.
Well, I think we talked about this before.
Yeah, we did.
So yeah, we did.
Yeah, so all your cables connecting are all Cat 6, correct?
He's just wireless on a tablet.
Wireless.
Yeah, I'm wireless on the tablet, but everything else is wired.
Right, but your cable to your router, you know, your cable modem or whatever you're connected to, is that a Cat 6?
Geez,
probably.
What's a Cat 6 look like? The blue ones?
They're Cat 5. It'll say on the side.
It'll say on the jacket.
Oh, okay.
But he's wireless, Bob. This is the wireless connection from his tablet that goes and slows down to the router.
She's got an HP, and then it's got the tower, and we bought the little wireless plug-in thing into the face of the tower, so we would have wireless.
Yeah, and hers is high-speed wireless, and yours is dropping down.
Yeah.
See, where I was going was that some of the old cables will only allow, like a Cat 5 or older, will only allow 100 megabits of speed through them, no matter what you do.
So he's getting 8.
So he's getting 8.
Wirelessly.
So, right. But you still got to get the speed through to the...
Through the cable.
But he's not doing a speed test. He's doing a network test.
Oh, I see. Okay.
That's the thing. It's a local network test that you get high speed. Because he's only got DSL, which is going to get as high as 6 megabits. That's all he's getting.
Okay.
So...
Yeah, but my wife's able to watch stuff on Prime and stuff on her...
Yeah, yeah.
You know, download and watch whole movies, and it doesn't buffer or anything.
Yeah, you don't need a lot of bandwidth.
She's hogging all the bandwidth.
Yeah, well, that's true. So
this happens even when she's not on her tablet.
But
her tablet's turned off.
Okay, I'm thinking it's back to your tablet having a problem. I mean, that thing you should have retired a while ago. Didn't you buy a new one?
I'm just getting my new one going.
You just got to punt it. You just got to move on.
All right. Goodbye.
All right, Danny.
Thanks a lot.
Bye. You got to move on. Stop calling about that one. What the heck did the Chinese find on the dark side of the moon?
Jello.
Let's go on to Jim in Summers next. Jim, what's up?
Hey, how you doing? You guys probably can't help me, but I figured I'll try you anyway.
All right. We love those types of calls.
So this is a relationship between eBay, PayPal, and an email.
All right.
And So I think eBay got confused with my username versus my email address.
They did.
And all of a sudden, everything's fine. I've been selling things. I'm getting paid. All of a sudden, I get a payment that goes to a username instead of an email address.
Right.
So I call Yahoo up, and good luck with that.
Yeah, forget that.
You know, they want me to pay $4 a month to have this premium service.
Yeah.
The old Yahoo number that you used to be able to call about email doesn't exist anymore.
Jim, why would you even call Yahoo if eBay is paying a username?
Well, I'll tell you why.
Yeah.
Because I had to connect my email username address to an actual email address, and they sent the verification email to the email address.
Yeah.
And I went to go sign in on it, and my username for my Yahoo address is the same username, and somehow my username is now an email address connected to Yahoo that doesn't exist. And I called Yahoo up to try and get into my account and activate this email, and they said they want like $4 a month, and it's a premium service, and blah, 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 blah.
What a mess,
and
Jim.
So it is a mess, and it somehow, somewhere, my username got morphed into an email, and eBay says, oh, I'm sorry, you got paid for this, and we can't help you out. And I was like, hey, you sent the money to the wrong email address. And they're like, no, that has nothing to do with us. And I'm like, oh, yeah, it does. And so I'm like going, and I can't call PayPal because it's a weekend. So my question to you is.
What a great system. This is the year 2018, and you're trying to get paid. That's so funny.
Yeah.
2019. Go ahead.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't want you to pay me, but I'm trying to get into a Yahoo email.
Yeah.
Or sign up for a Yahoo email, and it keeps going to my regular email account because of my username. So I try, like a nickname, I guess you call it. So I tried to get into my account. I erased my nickname and made it the same name as my address.
Yeah.
And I try to add it to my my iPad and my regular Yahoo account as an additional email.
Yeah.
And it won't let me go. It won't let me go in. It won't let me add it now. And it says so. I try to start all over again from the very beginning, like a whole new email address.
Uh-huh.
And it says, "I'm sorry, this address has been used. You can't use it."
Of course.
I'm like,
yeah.
Oh, great.
So you got to recover your you got to recover your Yahoo email. Number one, what did you use for a password for that email?
A password?
Yeah.
It's like a pretty complicated one that I've written down.
Okay. I was just going to see if you're going to give it to me. So here it is. Yeah, we're losing you, Jim. But you got to do an email recovery to make sure you get control of your Yahoo account. That's your problem. And I'm not sure what eBay's doing to you, but they're gonna connect you to an email address. And Yahoo is a really bad way to do business of any kind, right? It's a free mail service that's hacked constantly. And they're going to trick you. People are going to try to trick you into giving the password through what are called phishing schemes. So somehow you lost control of your mailbox is what I think, right? Are you able to receive email? Can you receive Yahoo and send and receive mail right now?
Oh, yeah, I can do that. And I says, hey, you know what I'll do? I'm going to send myself an email email using that as a target, you know, like best. And it comes back mailer demon, that email does not exist.
Oh, so you can't send yourself an email?
No, I can send myself.
Now you're cutting out, Jim.
Address. I can't send myself an email using that specific email
from Yahoo.
It says and it doesn't exist. So I call Yahoo up.
Yeah, you can. You get back to the $4 service.
Yeah. So I'm like, you know what?
How much was that thing? How much was the check they were supposed to send you from eBay?
$58.
Okay. I'm thinking you lost it because your account's been I think your account's been compromised. Stop using Yahoo and set your eBay account up with a more formal mailbox from your
Gmail?
It's the same problem as Yahoo. So not Gmail. You want, look at your whoever your internet provider is. They probably give you a mailbox.
Yeah, but then if I move, I live in Connecticut, so yeah. I have, you know, at Cox.net or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And then if I move, what do you do? You got to have a whole new address.
You do, sir. You're right. So you could always choose a third party like Proton Mail, which is encrypted messaging out of Switzerland. So they don't care where you live.
Proton Mail. I'll have to, yeah. Is that a paid for service?
It's free. You can buy it. You can pay for it. Now, you're in business, Jim, so you can pay for the business service, right? You're an eBay business guy. So pay.
No, I'm not really.
Oh, all right.
I just sell junk.
All right. Well, you can get the free mailbox, and then it doesn't care where you live.
Okay.
I think your mailbox is compromised. Right. I think you've lost control. Now, the problem is these guys who have control of your mailbox could also use it for other things. So if you've got that Yahoo box connected to anything else, who knows what kind of fun they're having with you.
Yeah. So Gmail is not...
It's the same thing.
It's the same thing as Yahoo.
Yeah, same thing as Yahoo. It's the same thing as Hotmail. It's just a free mailbox. And I would tell you to go elsewhere because those big cloud companies is where everyone's fishing. It's where all the fish are.
All right, Proton Mail. I'll have to remember that.
Yeah, check
it out. Thank you for your help. I appreciate it.
Yeah, good luck, Jim.
All right. Take
Bye-bye.
Care. Bye.
Yep. So again, when you start connecting your life to these free mail services, and yes, he said his mailbox is pretty well password protected, but there's phishing schemes out there that'll trick you into giving the information out. So if they actually sent a phishing scheme related to eBay, they could have easily asked him for the password through the phishing scheme. So got to be careful out there. We're going to step out for a quick break. Kyle, Barbara, and Felicia, hang on. We'll be right back. We are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. And that last call really should kind of give you a little bit of pause, right? When your mailbox these days, sadly, is heavily connected to a lot of services. We've had guests on whose whole cloud system, from access to Twitter to Facebook to email, has been compromised. Your mailbox is one of the most important aspects of your digital life. And you need to secure it with a good password, two-factor authentication, and you got to be very careful of phishing schemes that are going to trick you into asking for your password. The way they do it is almost the same way I'm doing it on the radio, and you guys are laughing every time. No one's given it to me yet. But all they're doing in the phishing schemes is emailing you something that relates to something that you're expecting or not expecting. They're going to say, hey, you've got an eBay order. Please log in. And it's a fake email, fake eBay logo, and you give them your password. You can't trust anything coming in through email.
We've got a cash reward for you for being such a good customer. Click here.
Click here. Log in. Boom. They've got your email and your password. So you can't trust anything coming in through email, period. And you need to add these extra factors of authentication, two-factor authentication, so that when you log into your mail system, it forces a code that you have to key in to allow for the mail to flow. Otherwise, without it, the bad guys have asked you for the password, and now they're in. And don't use these free junky services to connect your digital life to. Yahoo? A billion people were hacked on Yahoo. Why would you trust your digital life to a company that bad? All of them technically are that bad. I could probably list numerous breaches, all thanks to
email. Since they're offering their service for free, what incentive do they have to put money into it to secure it?
Exactly. And again, if you're going to be compromised by being tricked, that's just a matter of increasing your knowledge, which is a part of a service that we offer to our business clients called security awareness training. But you at home don't necessarily have that access, unfortunately. All right, let's go to your calls. We're going to go to Barbara next. What's going on, Barb?
Hi, I have an iPad 2,
mm-hmm.
which is 7 years old, and I know that's old.
Yep.
But it's in perfect condition. However, the last time I did my updates, it affected some of the apps I have, and they're telling me, can I name the apps?
Is that sure, okay? I guess, yeah.
Okay. So say, for instance, Hulu.
Uh-huh.
If I was able to do everything I needed or wanted with the Hulu. But after I made the last update, it came, a little message came up saying that I had to update to the most recent...
iOS?
Yes.
And it won't work on your iPad too, will it?
No, but according to my iPad, I'm at a 5-point-something, and they're saying for Hulu they want it at a at least 4-point-something or better.
Huh.
And so it downloads the app, you know, the update.
Yeah.
And then the open, you know, it turns the little icon, whatever you want to call it, goes to open. When I click on open, it goes back to the original screen saying that I have to update to the most recent, you know, 4.0 or better. And it's just like a vicious cycle. And I don't... I know it's old. It's an older iPad.
Yeah.
But I just feel it makes me sad to think that this is going to end up in a landfill somewhere. You know, I mean...
Yeah.
Because they say you can't add any hardware to it. You can't... It
right.
doesn't even have a slot for an SD card.
Right.
I didn't know if you had any suggestions other than buying something new. And if so, what, you know, might be what you would recommend for a tablet.
Yeah, so... I'm looking up here online for any similar issues, and you're not alone. There's issues with this. Apple has been known to not be able to upgrade their iOSs on older platforms because there's just not enough space. They would build these machines to be too small to begin with.
Right.
And planned obsolescence.
You can't expand the memory.
No, they couldn't. You can't change the battery. You couldn't add memory. That was all designed so that would end up in a landfill somewhere. Just kidding. But technically, truth, they did it on purpose so that you would have to buy the next biggest one. And so there's clearly a problem because Hulu says it'll work on the 5 and you're not able to do it on the 5. So you can keep fighting with Hulu to figure out where the problem is on the old Apple II. Or yes, you may want to consider moving forward. Now, maybe this changes your mind about Apple.
Oh, long time ago.
Yeah. So you may want to consider a Android-based tablet. I'm a fan of the Samsung Galaxy. Bob's got a thought, though.
On the Hulu app, have you tried uninstalling it and re-downloading it?
I haven't gone that far, no. So try an uninstall
yes.
and a re.
Uninstall it, turn the tablet off, turn it back on, reload it. That might work.
Okay, I will try that, but that's good to know.
Yeah, I'm a fan of the Samsung Galaxy tab. There's plenty of Android-based tablets out there that are very inexpensive and will work just swimmingly with these apps, and you're not going to be stuck in this Apple ecosphere. It won't cost you an arm and a leg.
Right. The price is on the... I do have a Samsung Galaxy Tab 4.
Nice.
Which I've had for a while. It's a small one.
Yeah.
I just have to learn how to do certain things, like how to download things to my memory card and have them actually come up with a name because they just come up with like a file extension. But, and I love that.
Yeah.
But my iPad was a little bit bigger, so if I wanted to stream
right.
movies or something of that nature, you know, it was just a little friendlier to my eyes.
Yeah, just tough on your neck.
Yeah.
So keep that in mind. When you have your head bent over like that, holding the device, you're adding an awful lot more stress to the back of your neck than you need to.
Yeah, I usually, believe it or not, have it on a like a stand.
Oh, okay.
So it's my neck is usually straight.
You oh, know, perfect.
Like my cervical spine is straight.
So perfect.
Because I did find that I would get,
oh, yeah.
actually get like almost like a tension headache.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're all doing it to our heads. We're building actually a little horn that's going to come out the back of our heads. And I'm not joking. So, yeah, try the uninstall and the reinstall and see if that solves it for you, Barb. We got to go.
Okay, now just one more question.
I'm sorry. We got to go. We got no time.
Oh, I'm sorry.
All right, Barb.
Bye now.
Yeah, bye-bye. I want to thank all you guys for joining us on this Saturday morning. Thank you, Mike, for posting everything. Thank you, Matt, for producing.
And see you next week.